Mark chapter number 7, please stand for the reading of God's word. Such a joy to be back preaching. It is a strange thing not to preach on Sundays. Enjoy your Sunday night tonight. And I will try to make up for not having a message tonight this morning. Beginning in verse number 1 of chapter number 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and a certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brassen vessels, and tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? They eat bread with unwashed hands. They answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. For there is nothing from without a man that enters into him can defile him, but the thing which comes out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he'd enter into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters in the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheme, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's pray. Father, as we open this new year with your word, I pray that you would fill us with ears to hear, that we would be attentive to the word of God, that we would be clear in the delivery of a exegesis of the text, that we would be careful to say only what the word of God says, and to not embellish it or to twist it or to create within the body of Christ traditions of men that supersede the authority of the word of God. Help us to be a church that is diligent to search the scriptures daily and to know what the word of God says, and to limit its application to just what it says and only what it says. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's our outline. We've got three examples of hypocrisy. The issue of washing hands, found in verses 1 through 8. The issue of Corban, found in 9 through 13. And finally, the issue of kosher food, found in 14 through 23. Here's our big idea from 1 through 23. What's the main idea of the text, Pastor? What should we walk away with as we leave this section of Scripture? The big idea is God has no tolerance for hypocrisy in the body of Christ. So we want to unpack that a little bit more in this third section. We've already preached on hypocrisy on 12/4/2011, and the title was "The Cancer of Hypocrisy in the Body of Christ is Killing It." If you didn't listen to that message, please go back on sermon audio and review that message, because you're going to need it for part one of this entire message. Today I want to talk about kosher or not, understanding what is truly defiling to us. So the first issue he attacks is this issue of Corban, and this is not really something that we're very familiar with. It begins at verse number 9 and works through number 13. The idea behind this would be, I would take my house, my personal property, and I would say, it's Corban. It's been dedicated as a gift of God to the church. I'm going to live in it while I'm alive, and then at such a time that I pass away, my house will be given to the temple. My personal property will be given to the temple. My 401k plan will be given to the church. Right now, I can use it to whatever I need for my own personal benefit. Whatever's left over after that, after I use it, it goes to the church. And the issue becomes, mom and dad need some help. But I say to them, oh, mom and dad, I would love to give you the help. But the problem is, I've already dedicated these funds to the work of the Lord. And so therefore, even though I want to give you help, I can't give you help because it's Corban. It's already been dedicated. Quite frankly, listen to me, it was a farce. Let me use another word just in case we didn't get that one. It was a crock. Okay? It was a way for me to neglect my responsibilities to mom and dad, isolate some assets in an appropriate way, and get over on the Word of God. Okay? Let's look at the text now that I've explained it. Full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Corban was a tradition. It wasn't mandated in the Word of God. It wasn't a way of hiding assets from mom and dad so that I don't have to do my job. It wasn't biblically authorized according to the Mosaic law. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die the death. Do you know what the death was? It wasn't lethal injection. That wasn't the death. What was the death? It was stoning. You talk about a painful way of going. Put somebody in the middle, circle around them, and just start pelting them with stones. Pleasant? Can't even imagine it. Really, we can't. Can we? Can't even imagine that kind of a, let them die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift designated, you get the idea? It's set aside, isolated, fenced. Whatsoever thou mightest profit by me, he shall be free. You allow him no more to do aught. The idea of aught is the Old English word for right. You are not allowing him to do the right thing. The right thing would be to take some of the assets and help mom and dad out. But because you want this recognition of giving a big gift to the temple, the church, you're neglecting your current responsibility, making the Word of God of none effect through your own tradition, which you've delivered, and many such like things you do. I'm not going to spend too much time here, because the reality is we don't have this problem in the body of Christ. Exodus 20:12 said, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. just a reminder to us that it's my job to take care of my mom and dad, and it's your job to take care of your mom and dad. And the reason we're struggling in our society today is because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Okay, there's no way around that. What we want is the federal government to do what we should be doing, individually as families and in the body of Christ. We want to absolve ourselves of that and say stupid stuff like, I pay my taxes, that should be sufficient, and not do the right thing. Mark 11 says, but you say, if a man shall say the father and the Corban, that's the neglecting of the mom and dad. Corban is the transliteration of this Greek word meaning a gift dedicated to God. What they were doing is making it of none effect. They wouldn't do the right thing. Paul said it like this. If any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now let's just pause for just a second here. As our Congress is getting ready to give another year of unemployment. Hello? Anybody exasperated with the idea that people can do nothing and get money? If any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's no room for lazy bums. Get up and go to work. That's clearly what the Word of God is saying, just so we can spell it out. They're making the Word of God of none effect through their own tradition. All right, issue three. Let's move on. Let's get into kosher or not. Kosher or not. Look back at 2 through 5, please, as we clarify this, pulling it together, because it's the entire text. So I'm looking at 14, 15, and 2 through 5 at the same time. I want you to see it in your own Bible. All right, let's look at 14, 15, and then we're going to go back and look at 2, 5, so we're clear. When he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, listen unto me. I'm going to give you some instruction. Now remember, what is he responding to? Look back at 2 through 2, 3, and 4. I'll read it to you. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other such things, washing of cups. And so this, verse number 14, 15, is Jesus' response to the original accusation concerning what defiles a person. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that enters into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. Do you see it there? So what defiles me and what doesn't defile me? He says in verse 14, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Think about this. Now, if we're not careful as a body of Christ, we love to create rules. We have a propensity to create rules. Rules are easy. Why are rules so easy? Because I don't have to think. I don't have to think, John. Just give me a rule. When I get a rule, I don't have to think. If you wear a uniform to work, I did it for 20 years. There wasn't a single time I got up and said, I wonder what I'm wearing to work today. Right? Many of you can relate to that. You don't have to think. We love to make rules. We love to make lists. And Jesus is saying here, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. He's engaging their brains. He's engaging their intellect. He doesn't want them to daydream right now. He doesn't want them to go into la-la land and not listen to what he's saying. I'm going to need you this morning to think with me. Verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that enters into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. And when I read that verse, Pastor Duane, I said, nothing? Whoa, well, wait a minute. There's some things that we say that can't come. Nothing? He says, there is nothing from without a man that can enter into him, can defile him. Wait a minute. There's lots of things that I don't take into my mouth. So what does Jesus mean here when he says, there is nothing? Anything? What's the limit? What are the rules? See, I'm prone to it. I need to know what the rules are. I like to know what the rules are. Verse 17, and when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So it would be like this. Just imagine this. We have a congregational preaching service about this. I issue out a statement. And then afterwards, the pastors, we huddle together. And the pastors surround me and say, what did you mean by that? That's exactly what's happening here. Notice what it says. He said that to the mass in verse number 16. Nothing comes in that can defile you but that which comes out. And then Peter and John and Matthew, they're like, whoa, Jesus, what did you mean by that? They were struggling with this open statement. When they entered into the house of the people concerned, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, verse number 18, are you also without understanding? Are you also in need of some instruction? Are you also not thinking through this? Have you also not thought through what I'm saying? Do you need some more instruction? Do you need to think about this? So that's what we're going to do this morning. Our whole focus is going to be on thinking about this. Defiled does not mean can't make me sick or cause harm to my body. That's not what defile means. What does defile mean? To be defiled is to be unclean. To be unclean is to be guilty and to have sinned. So now what we're talking about, is there anything that I can take into my mouth that makes me a sinner, or it's sin for me to take into my mouth? Is it what I'm taking in that makes it sick? Is it the molecular composition of what I'm taking in that makes me sick? That's what we're talking about here. He's given us some instruction. Jesus says in verse number 19, because it enters not into his heart, but goes into its belly. So now we're getting a distinction between the belly and the heart. And notice I didn't go here when I said heart. I went here. I went to here. I didn't go here. They had no idea that this was the heart. They didn't understand that idea. They knew that something went in here and then came out here. That's what they understood. That was the essence of what they understood. Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly. And then it goes out the draught or in the sewer, and it's purged. Your body excretes what it needs from it, and the waste goes out. Nice thought, right? These are the words of our Lord, by the way. The heart in the Bible is a symbol of rational, intellectual, and decision-making element in human beings, and not the emotional affection element. So we're not talking about this. We're not talking about I love you with all my heart. We're talking about what makes decisions. So I want to ask, real engaging. Nothing's off limits this morning as we're thinking through this, as we're challenging our understanding. If nothing can defile me, what about Mountain Dew, tobacco, marijuana, wine, beer? Where does it stop? Let's think about this morning. Now, let's all recognize we're all prone to have a rule list. We love rules. But we want to be able to talk about this from what kind of a basis? An intelligent basis. Where are you getting that from? He said, are you without understanding? He could have said, are you stupid on this? He could have said, are you ignorant? Haven't you thought through this? So I'm going to give you five questions, and I'm going to ask you to take one of those blank pieces of section in the back of your Bible. I'm going to ask you to write these down, because I know that you won't remember them forever. I'm going to ask you to write them down. I'm going to ask you to find a blank piece of paper in the back of your Bible and write these five questions down. Because I know that you'll remember better if you're seeing it, hearing it, and writing it down. There's pens in the pew that you can use. That's what they're there for. I'm going to give you five questions about how we should think about this. So, as I'm working through whether I should take this into my body or not, whatever it is, question number is, will what I'm consuming harm my body? Question number one, will what I'm consuming harm my body? Very practical sermon this morning. Will what I'm taking into my body harm my body? Now let's remember how critical an issue this is. How many of you know of a Jehovah's Witness or heard of a Jehovah's Witness that won't get a blood transfusion? Right? It's very common. They haven't been taught properly. They're without understanding. Jesus said, nothing comes into you automatically defiles you. They need to be taught. That's why we're discussing this morning. Question number one, will what I'm consuming harm my body? Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You have a responsibility to take care of your body. It's not your body. It's God's body. You are a steward of that body. You are to take care of that body. You are to exercise that body. Go for walks with that body. Do right with that body. That body was given to you by God. Those brain cells were given to you by God. And some of us, we can't afford to lose any more. We need every one of them. You've heard me pronounce words before. That's an area where there's a deficiency. So, are we talking about cancer? Yes. Are we talking about heart disease? Yes. Are we talking about premature aging? Yes. Are we talking about diabetes? Yes. Are we talking about the loss of brain cells? Yes, yes, yes. So just because Jesus said nothing can defile doesn't mean that I just ignore the fact that my body needs to be taken care of. Can you say moderation? Now we're talking about hypocrisy. And the reason we're talking about hypocrisy in this text is because Jesus highlights the overarching idea. And for me as a Baptist to criticize so-and-so because he takes a dip of snuff in the morning as I have 32 Cokes all day long is hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Now, we wish that there was a list. We wish that Cokes were on the good list and tobacco was on the bad list and it made it easy for us. But there is no such list. It's not there. And so we have to be careful that we don't appear stupid with our rules. Question number two, please write this down. Is it lawful according to the governing authorities? Is it lawful according to the governing authorities? The fact that Jesus said nothing that comes into your mouth doesn't mean that you get to ignore Romans 13. You still have to obey the governing authorities. You still have to obey the governing authorities. Jesus isn't giving us a way of ignoring what the lawful orders of the governing authority is. Depending on what country you're in may determine what's lawful or not. You have to obey those laws. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So if you are under 21 years old in this church and you are a teenager and you're drinking alcohol, you are sinning. You're sinning. And I know it's going on. I know it's going on. We have teenagers in the body of Christ that are experimenting with alcohol. It is a sin for you to experiment with alcohol if you're not 21 years old. Bottom line, you cannot say, well, Jesus said nothing comes into my mouth, doesn't defile me, so I'm all set. No, the law-abiding authority in this state has established that 21 years old is the legal limit. And that's it. There's no other discussion. You can debate the whole idea, I'm old enough to go to war and all that. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. Paul makes it clear, you are to submit to the governing authorities. So, Pastor, what's the difference between tobacco and marijuana? They're both leaves. Jesus said, what defiles goes in and out. It really doesn't make a difference. What's the difference? Well, there's a couple differences. Number one is legal and the other isn't. So right away, marijuana's off limits. And I know we have teenagers experimenting with marijuana. You are sinning. You say, you've rationalized it. I know you think teenagers are smart. They think through this stuff. It's a leaf, it's a leaf. No, that's not the case. That is not the case. Moreover, what should really concern you, teenager, is one is regulated and the other isn't. You have no idea who put what in that bag. You have no idea what's in that bag. There's no FDA governing authority making sure what you bought on the corner of the street in that bag is not going to kill you. I go back to question number one. Will it harm my body? We're not here just to get a way out. We're here to learn this morning. We want to be wise, intelligent Christians. We're not here to come to church, sleep through the sermon, and walk away clueless. We're here to engage our brains, know what the Word of God says, know what Christ said in Mark chapter number 7, know what the entire Word of God says, and think through things. Yes or no? Question number three, please write this down. Question number three, please write this down. Will the consumption of this affect my mind? By the way, I never know, is that AFX or EF? I never can tell the difference between those two. Steve Wilson's tried to explain it to me 3 or 4 times. Good. That's good? Thank you, Dave. I'm good. All right. Success! All right. Will the consumption of this affect my mind? Will it affect my mind? This is a real issue. Turn back to Proverbs chapter number 31, please. And yes, please turn there in your Bible so you can mark this text with your pen so that you can see this. Proverbs 31, please. Proverbs 31. Sorry, John, that didn't work out well. I'll try to get the next one better. One side of the argument. One side of the argument. Here's the side over here, church, over here, where it's rule, 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 rule. List, 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 list. You don't need to think. We'll tell you what the rules are. We'll tell you what the things are. Don't think about it. I'll think for you. That's this side over here. You know this side? You got it? Everyone with me? Over on this side, way over here, God is loving. God is gracious. God understands me. He knows that I like Fred more than, and so he's okay with me. That's over here. See, we struggle, Jonathan, with balance. We struggle immensely with balance, church. Admit it. We struggle with eating in moderation. We struggle with being balanced. We struggle with understanding that and understanding that. We are prone to drift this way or to drift that way. For us to hold the tension between these ideas and hold them together is very difficult for us. I'm going to use those illustrations throughout the rest of the sermon. Proverbs chapter number 31. Let's look together, please, at verse number 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So let's work through this. Number one, you say, I'm not a king. Wrong. Wrong. I win. Revelation 1, 5 through 6. God has made you a king and a priest unto God. So you are a king. That doesn't work for you. Okay? Don't try to use that exception clause. Okay? I'm not a king, so therefore I can drink and not have to worry about my judgment. No. No. In Christ Jesus, you've been made a king and a priest. And if you love that righteousness that you've received from Christ Jesus, with that righteousness comes some responsibility. You can't pick and choose it. You can't pick and choose it. Which I love eternal security. I love the fact that I'm a king in Christ Jesus. But wait a minute. This is Friday. Friday's party day at the school I'm going to. And I'm not a king on party day. This is happening in the body of Christ. I know this is happening. By the way, it's not just teenagers. It's not just teenagers. You're pretty stupid to put the fact on Facebook that you got drunk. Okay? That's just not too bright. It is not for kings, though. It's not for kings to drink wine. Not princes strong drink, lest they forget the law. But you say, I'm not under the law. I'm not under the law. Wait a minute. Look at verse 21 and 23, and I'm going to win again. Look at 21 and 23. In Mark, just hold your place. Mark 21 and 22 and 23. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. You know what you just got? You just got a list. From whom? Moses? From Jesus. So, anyone over on that side that ignores that is ignoring the law, Rob. Because Jesus just said adultery is wrong. Jesus just cleared it up. So you cannot be over here. If we're way over here, we're forgetting what Jesus said in these verses. He just said adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Those are rules. There's no way around it. You can't ignore that. We do have rules in Christianity. I love all the people that say it's all about your relationship with Jesus. Hey, that sounds great and everything, but there are rules. There are rules. I love the one that God just wants me to be happy. You know, they're on their fourth marriage and God just wants me to be happy. Okay. For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil. Evil. By the way, this is exactly what you were talking about Wednesday night, Dave, with your excellent lecture on apologetics. If you were not here on Wednesday, go to Sermon Audio, download it, and make sure you listen to it this week. It's only about 35 minutes long. It should have been longer. You should have kept on going. You had great material. They were probably sleeping, and so you felt that pressure from them to wrap it up. I know how that is. You just got to push through that, brother. Just ignore it. That works best. Okay? If there isn't a transcendent God who established a moral law, how is it that all cultures and societies embrace the same moral code? Now, this is apologetics 101. It's called the moral argument. Everyone understands that theft is theft. There isn't a single culture, society, continent, country where it's okay to steal. There isn't any place. How did that happen? Where in the evolutionary process did that happen? Was it 270 billion years ago? Was it 265 billion years ago? Was it 1 million years ago? Is that when the moral code was introduced during the evolutionary process? Do you understand how ridiculous it is to suggest something? Was it when we went from being multi-cell to multi-leg beings? Is that when we got the moral law? Was it when we grew out that first arm, started popping out? Is that when a moral law came about? It's absurd. It's absurd. And we're speaking this way because many of you are attending secular universities in which the professor acts as though he is the single authority on all stuff, and you are stupid. And the moral argument is one of the best ways to defend a transcendent God. Because if it wasn't so, if we were all evolving simultaneously 1 billion years ago over multiple continents with different things, one eye and then two eye, or however it happened, finally nose started popping out or something, then why isn't there some cultures that evil is good and good is evil? All right. By the way, did you notice three of the sins were sexual sins? Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. Let's define lasciviousness. It's unbridled lust. It's excess. Okay? It's wantonness. It's outrageousness. It's shamelessness. It's insolence. You say, Pastor, I still don't know what it is. All right? Go to any state university. Go into a dorm room where the bulk of the students are drunk, and you'll see lasciviousness. You'll see lasciviousness. Let's look at the text. Lest they forget the law and pervert the what? The judgment. The judgment. So any mind-altering drug is off limits. Any mind-altering drugs is off limits. Anything. Anything. Now let's make sure we're clear here. It is not the molecular composition that makes it sinful. You're going to have to pay attention. Because that molecular composition can be put in a pill and given to you in a hospital bed to help you deal with pain. And because you're not going to lose your testimony in a hospital bed, it is not automatically sinful. But when you consume that in the form of a bottle on a Friday night when there's an animal trying to get in your pants, it now becomes a totally different situation. It's not the molecular composition that makes it sin. I'm sorry if that was too graphic, but we need to talk frankly about these matters because Christians are losing their testimony. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now, my thinking is already hard enough to control when I'm sober. Am I alone, or does anyone else struggle with the sins that were on there? Covetousness, evil thoughts, pride, blasphemy. Anybody else drive around Fayetteville and struggle with their Christian testimony? That's sober. From out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. I need to be in charge of my thinking at all times. I'm not going to take something into my body that makes it even more difficult for me to be in charge of my thinking. It's not the fact that I'm taking something to my body that makes it sin. It's the fact that I lose my judgment when I take this in. You have to learn how to talk intelligently about this thing. When someone says to me, why do you Christians believe that you should not do this or that? You say, can I give you 5 reasons? Not mom and dad gave me a list and their mom and dad gave me a list. That doesn't work. So I'm going to ask this hard question. And ladies, I wish you'd listen up, please. Most especially ladies. How many Christian girls lose some aspect of their virginity because they're on a mind-altering drug in college? How many lose it on some type of a trip? A senior trip? Girls, protect yourselves. The world is full of male pigs. Full of them. There's a reason they're getting you to drink. They're not looking out for your best interest. They know that in a sober state, you've been taught well. And you are going to hold to your convictions. So the only way that they're going to accomplish what their goal is to get you in a drunken state. So that your inhibitions are reduced and you're more likely to be complicit with the sin that they're invoking upon you. Can I say that any clearer, or did we get it this morning? Protect yourself. Question number four. I can drink a case of Mountain Dew, and you can drink a case of Bud Light. And the difference between is I'll be flying on the sugar and caffeine, and you could be drunk out of your mind. And I am not suggesting, by the way, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that I have a license to drink a case of Mountain Dew. That, in many cases, is sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Question number four. Will the consuming or inhaling of this impact my witness for Christ? Now, I can go to a function on Fort Bragg with my dress blues on, and I can walk around with a Mountain Dew can in my hand, and I can have five Mountain Dews that night, and no one's going to say, boy, he's drinking a lot of Mountain Dews. But if every single time you see me, I've got a new Bud Light in my hand, there is a great potential that my witness for Christ could be compromised. And it depends on who you are, the environment, what your standards are, what people know about you. There's no easy rule here. I'm not trying to create an easy rule. I'm trying to get us to think through this as a church. Will the consuming or inhaling of this impact my witness for Christ? Will the consuming or inhaling of this impact my witness for Christ? Jesus said it like this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You say, Pastor, where's the relevancy in that? Where's the application of that? You're the salt in your squad. You're the salt in your platoon. You're the salt in your small business. You're the salt. You're the salt. I'm not the salt in your unit. You are. I'm not the salt in your small business. You are. But as the salt has lost its savor, if the salt isn't a witness, if the salt isn't distinct, if the salt doesn't look like salt, smell like salt, have the characteristics of salt, then what in the world is the purpose of having salt? I can't hardly stand it. I enjoy chicken noodle soup, but I really enjoy chicken noodle soup with too much salt. Okay? To me, it just needs salt. If I was to take a shaker and just pour it in there and I taste it and there's no impact, I'm going to pour some more in there. If I taste it some more and I can't tell any difference, I may try one more time, and after that, the shaker's going in the trash. I need some good salt, because when I put this in the soup, I want to immediately tell a difference in the way the soup tastes. Are you salt where you work? Are you salt where you live? Young people, teenagers, when you decide to go to a secular university, you're saying, I'm stepping up to the plate to be salt. I'm ready to enter the world and be salt. I'm ready to walk in darkness as light. That is exceptionally challenging. Exceptionally challenging. I'm ready to go into the hostile zone and be ambushed by progressive, secular, liberal-minded people. I'm ready for that. But if you don't open your mouth, you're not salt. Don't misunderstand me. We need Christians going to secular universities. But we don't need Christians going to secular universities, losing their distinctiveness, compromising their holiness, and caving into the progressive worldview. So every young person in this room has to decide, am I ready to engage that hostile territory or not? And just because one person is doesn't mean another person is. Some may be ready, and some might need a couple more years of training before they're ready. The issue is behavior. Verse 20 says, he said, let which comes out of the mouth, that's what defiles the man. Listen to me. If you could smoke tobacco leaves and it did not cause emphysema, and it wasn't laced with nicotine. It wasn't impregnated with disease, addictive substances in there. There's nothing wrong with this. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not the burning of the leaf that's sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you could smoke tobacco the way you can chew bubble gum and it would have no impact, it's not the tobacco that makes it sin. There isn't a list. It's not the leaf. Wait a minute. I can't believe you're saying that. You're going to have to work through it with me. You're going to have to understand. You're going to have to think through this. It's the fact that this product causes cancer, tongues fall out, lips fall out. Why we don't do it. Why? Point number one, this body needs a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's got to be taken care of. If you could drink beer all day long and never lose your alertness, it's not the consumption of beer that makes it a problem. It's the fact that you lose your ability to stay sober or alert or your judgment. You understand what I mean, church? You got to think through these things. When you're in a hospital bed and you're in so much pain beyond measure, what do they give you? Morphine. That is a mind-altering drug. But you're receiving that mind-altering drug in a state of being controlled environment. Now, when you cross the line and become addictive to prescription drugs, you're sinning. But you say it's a legal drug. No, 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 no. You're now addicted to it. Question number five, and we're done. Last one. Please write this down. If the purchase of this is lawful, is it the best stewardship of God's money? We can't forget stewardship. We're called to be stewards. The person who's spending $500 a month on Starbucks coffee, he's got to be careful here. See, we have a propensity to be hypocrites. I don't care for Starbucks, but let's just say for, I don't care for any coffee. This isn't, I don't enjoy it, but let's just say for the sake of discussion that I did enjoy it. And they have it to where you can put like extra shots in the coffee to make it stronger. Is that true? Amen. Right. So some understand that. Right. So now when I was in the Army, I met plenty of soldiers that could not get out of the bunk without getting a dip in their lip first. I mean, I couldn't. They're laying on the ground in their sleeping bag and they're reaching for their skull. You know, can I? Okay. Now I can face the world. Now, wait a minute. The person who has to have their Starbucks to face the world needs to be careful then they're not criticizing the person that has to have their snuff to face the world. All of a sudden, we're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. Now, your Starbucks coffee is probably not going to cause lip cancer. So, that's a discussion that you can have. But what I'm saying is it's not because it's on a list, folks. It's because we've intelligently worked through these things. We're thinking about it. We're discussing it. We know what the propensity is. I know that I need to be careful that I don't drink too much soft drinks. And that if I'm on my third, fourth, or fifth for a day, that's wrong. So there's the conclusion. Make sure you have them written down, please. And we're done. Healthy, lawful, impact my judgment, witness for Christ, and stewardship. That's it. That's what we're working through. Not a bunch of rules. Not way over on that side or way over on that side. Our goal this morning is to live here in a balanced, moderate approach. Let's pray.